If you watch sports on television, you've probably seen it. Someone in the stands, usually behind the goalpost in the end zone, holding up a sign that says John 3:16. It's a good impulse, I guess. It's nice that these people are willing to show that they are Christians, and of course, it's a great verse, usually called the gospel in a sentence, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a wonderful verse. But if I were inclined to hold up a sign with a Bible verse in the end zone, which I'm not, but if I were inclined to do that, I think I would instead hold up these verses before us this morning, Revelations 1, 5.5-7. Also from the inspired pen of St. John, these verses tell the whole story of our Christian lives. It tells of the mercy of God the Father. It talks about the redemption and atonement that we have by God the Son and our sanctification by God the Holy Spirit. It tells how we enter the Christian life, what we do while we're there, and most of all, it tells us where it will finally bring us. Most of all, it's about the great trip, the wonderful journey that lies before each of us. It talks about going to heaven. Listen to this wonderful text. Follow it along in your folder from Revelation chapter 1, where we read, "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so. Amen." I think the saddest stories of all history, of all fiction, of films, are the stories of missed opportunities. How sad that that young couple that could have found each other as soulmates passed up that opportunity to talk with each other that one time, which could have sparked a lifelong love, but the opportunity was missed. How sad that so many who have heard of Jesus and even know his name have rejected him and have passed the opportunity to receive the salvation that he won for them too with his blood. When Jesus comes again in the clouds, all that they can do is wail and mourn, our text says, because their chance is gone and their opportunity is past. God has no pleasure in their anguish, but so it must be. There must be accountability. There must be consequences, or else there is no morality. Nor should we take pleasure in their mourning, in the wailing of those who are lost, because we too, remember, fall short of God's glory, and we can only thank God the Holy Spirit, who came to us through God's word and taught us of him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and moved our cold hearts to believe it and so to be saved. That's how we entered our Christian lives, washed clean in the sin from our sins in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and brought to faith through baptism by the Holy Spirit, where we now enjoy the privileges spoken of here in our new relationship with God through the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. He has, we read here, made us kings. And John wrote this, remember, at a time when very few people could aspire to live as kings. He's made us priests written again at a time when only a few were considered to have the direct access to God that the priests had. And the full meaning of our Christian lives as kings and as priests, we'll leave this morning since it's explored daily here in chapel, because the main focus here has been is the Advent, the coming of our Lord Jesus, and that great journey that is our hope, the hope that we've been given, grounded in the work of Jesus Christ and in the promise of his coming again to end this precious age, this present age, and to bring us to himself in heaven. That is our sure Christian hope. We sang yesterday in the hymn, and it's a hymn the Bethany Choir often sings over the years from time to time. We sang, "How shall I receive you? How welcome you aright? How will you greet Jesus when he comes again in the clouds?" Do you have that planned? A custom in the Old Testament, when greeting royalty, and certainly when anyone encountered God, we read they fell flat on their face before him. We don't have such a custom in our culture. In Asian cultures, greeting is usually involves some kind of a bow. With us, perhaps we'll just step forward and shake hands. What's your plan? I think you should have a plan. It's a measure of Jesus' love for us, I think, that he doesn't seem to require that we greet him by falling down, face down on the ground in front of him. In the gospel reading last Sunday, you might remember, in Luke chapter 21, Jesus said, "When you see these signs of the end, lift up your heads." And a bit later in the same discourse, he added, "Always be on the watch," he said, "and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, so that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." More important than how we greet him will be our reflexive response when this happens, when Jesus appears, when all the world will see him coming in a cloud. Where will you be? And what will you be doing when that happens? Will you be in a place and doing something where your reflexive response is going to be, "Oh no"? Heaven forbid. What a terrible opportunity to miss if we must join those who wail and mourn at his coming. Or will we be ready so that our reflexive response when he appears will be, "Oh yes. How shall I receive thee," we sang yesterday. And in the last stanza of that hymn, we have this reading before us summed up. You can follow it in yesterday's service in your worship folder, and let this be our prayer, where we sing, "He comes to judge the nations, a terror to his foes, a light of consolations, and blessed hope to those who love the Lord's appearing. O glorious Son, now come, send forth thy beams so cheering and guide us safely home." Live in that hope, washed from our sins by his blood, ready always for his coming in the clouds. Live in that hope, and you won't need to hold up a sign to show that you are a Christian. Thanks be to God. Let's rise for prayer. O glorious Son, now come. Send forth thy beams so cheering and guide us safely home. We continue with the prayer in the words of the hymn.